It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to Podcast 116, coming to you like Peter Andre's chest in the Mysterious Girl music video, shaved and covered in baby oil. On this week's podcast, if you've worked with the public, you've probably experienced dealing with some batlax who demands to see your manager. We talk about our experiences of working with the public and ask who in the public service deserves to get paid more.
The only book this man has ever read relating to managing a hurling team is The Art of War by Sun Tzu. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
Lockdown has got her moodier than her moodiest mood ever.
Oh no.
We are scared. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as blaming everything on Carol Baskin.
Carol fucking Baskin.
We round off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts for the week.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On unusual names, here's one. Aurin, spelt A-U-R-Y-N.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's not, that can't be how you spell Aurin.
I'm very glad that they've included the pronunciation as in or off a boat in Aurin, yes.
Anyway, he says about 5 years ago, he was finishing off my thesis in the summer down in UL. And what are you laughing at?
What you got? A thesis.
His thesis.
Thesis.
And as I had a job secured for the end of the summer, my girlfriend's elderly grandparents kindly offered me a room in their house close to the university to save some cash while I did my thesis.
Jolly good, sir.
This is a terrible idea. He's in college in Limerick and he's staying with his girlfriend's grandparents.
Grannies, yeah, he's going to be doing no fucking tonight.
On an absolute scorcher of a day, I decided to take the morning off and lay out in the back garden and soak up the sun. That morning, only myself and my girlfriend's 75-year-old grandmother were in the house. Now, I always had a bit of banter with the grandmother, but I could never have imagined what happened next. As I laid out the towel with my back facing up to the sun, I heard a voice from the back door. "Mind yourself in the sun now. Don't be getting burnt." I replied, "No worries, will do. Thanks." Thought no more about it. About 10 minutes later, as I was nearly dozing at this stage, out of nowhere, I felt a wet splat on my back. To my absolute horror, I looked up and there was the grandmother with the amber solaire in hand, squirting sun cream on my back. As I rushed to say, "It's okay," she pushed her cold, wrinkly hand down and started rubbing it in to say, "I wanted the ground to open up below me" was an understatement. To make it worse, she goes, "I won't tell her if you don't," in relation to my girlfriend, and then walked away laughing. I told my girlfriend the minute she got home and she was mortified. I have been permanently scarred since and can't look at the back garden the same. Oh my God. Anyway, love the podcast, guys. And in the fine weather, make sure to put on your own sunscreen before laying out. All the best, Oren. And he says he found out a few years ago that the mother found it in the other names section of the baby book. And I've been living with 25 years of pain correcting people since. I'm from a town in South Tip and you wouldn't get too many Orens down there.
That is true.
I think it's perfectly normal for your mate's grandmother to put sunscreen on your back.
Not for me, lad. No way.
Like, you should offer. Don't just go and sun cream someone's back. Don't just sneak up on them like, surprise, sun cream, you know?
Fucking sun cream ninja.
Yeah.
Shauna was in touch with an email titled, "A Wicked Cock." Can't wait for this one. "Well, Johnny Zamora, finally caught up to you after a million episodes since the Rona outbreak. On Johnny Smacks talking about his fear of birds, I thought I'd tell you a story that gives me the shivers about my boyfriend's lethal cock. Or rooster, whichever you prefer. I kind of rather cock. His home place."
Well, John.
What? No, not me personally, but just for this story.
Oh my God.
"His home place in the wilds of County Down would give Joe Exotic a run for his money. Ducks, geese, exotic birds, turkeys, goats, ponies, donkeys, pigs, sheep, cattle, you name it, they had it. His uncle dropped up a new rooster one day that he got for free, as the buck they had was a bit ragged and on his last buck. What his uncle failed to mention was that this rooster was a former cockfighter and an undefeated champ at that. Why he was given away for free became clear very quickly. There was a rake of young cocks on the farm that had Can't keep saying cocks. There was a rake of young cocks on the farm that hatched out a few months before and were being kept in a shed to be sold off. No one at the time realised this new bio was essentially a chicken assassin until my boyfriend's old lad went out to check on the young cocks one morning to find every last one dead in the shed.
Jesus.
And who was standing there but the chicken strangler himself? It was discovered through sheep TV, i.e. the camera set up in the shed for lambing season, that he got in through a small hole in the roof of the shed during the night, systematically moved through each pen, killing every last one, bar the old cock who was in an absolute shite, but playing dead in the corner. Right, says the owl lad, I'll throw him out into the turkey's pen and he'll sort this lad out. The turkey was the don of the bird community, and surely this scrawny yoke, as skilled as he was in the art of murdering most fowl, wouldn't stand a chance. It soon became obvious that this bastard was the Liam Neeson of the chicken world, having a particular set of skills from his fighting days. He was lightning fast, and his signature move was to fly at the neck and try snap it with his claws. Bad bastard. He nearly pulled off the red dangly yoke on the turkey's face and would have killed again had the owl lad not intervened with a length of wavin' pipe. Needless to say, there was a new don on the farm from that point on. His reign of terror didn't stop at animals. He had a severe dislike of women and would peg it towards any female who dared to step foot in his territory. To be fair to him, he lived a grand life on the farm once the competition was eliminated and the women stayed clear, dying of old age, undefeated. If there's any moral to this story, it might be to never accept a cock without knowing its history. Words to live and die by in every sense. Keep her lit, Shauna. Do you know what? It's what this podcast's all about. Not like a bit of cock.
Anonymous messaged us in to say, one autumn day, me and my mother were out getting the messages in your favourite town, Tip Town, and my mother received quite a worrying phone call. It was a friend of hers had told her that there was a man in a Jeep parked outside our house, looking very mysterious and wearing a balaclava.
That's another day in Tip Town.
That'll do it. Or maybe he had a face treatment on. I don't know. Me and my mother rushed home immediately, only to find it was our neighbour. He was a farmer. Now, I mean, this lad was as rough a farmer as you could get. As rough as a bear's hole. Real Irish farmer. We asked him what he was doing with the balaclava, and he continued to tell us a story. He was out hunting cattle one evening and had crashed into a gate and his front windshield broke. Instead of paying to get the already battered up Jeep fixed, he decided in true cheap farmer style, he would take the windscreen out altogether and just buy a balaclava so that when he was driving, his ears wouldn't get cold.
Oh my God.
Savage. Thank you for that.
Oh, can't beat the farmers. Teresa was in touch on weird names. Well, Maura and lads, on Maura's topic of queer children's names, I taught in Qatar in a fairly competitive international school where we'd be under a fair bit of pressure during exam time. As teachers didn't supervise their own class during exams, I was unfamiliar with the students' names. One day, I was in another class supervising. When it came to hanging up the scripts, I noticed one cocky bollocks had put the word brilliant at the top of his test paper. Cue the rage from me as I bounced around the room, Jessica Fletcher-esque, wielding my index finger, lecturing them on the merits of honesty and how their God would put them to the fire if he found out they lied. Many tears later, from 29 six-year-olds, their teacher returned and explained that she did in fact have a student named Brilliant. Shite name, but the frigger did live up to his name. Love the podcast. Ye are beacons of laughter and light. Keep it going. From Teresa, from the Mines and Tip, but she's married up in Monaghan.
Brilliant.
Oh, she'd fit in lovely up there.
Is that like, do you reckon, you know, when people get like random Arabic and Chinese words tattooed on them?
Yeah.
Do you reckon there's Chinese lads with like fridge written across their knees or something?
Possibly so. I'm just laughing at Brilliant. Like, I can't imagine it taking off in Ireland. It's like, what's your name? Brilliant. Brilliant what? Brilliant Murphy. You know, doesn't have the vibe.
Rory was in touch with lads on the pod there about the young traveller taking Elvis for his confirmation name. Reminded me of one of my friend's story. When it was time in sixth class to confirm our confirmation names, this said friend, who never does anything easy and loves taking the piss out of everyone, went home to do some research. He came in the following day only to announce that his confirmation name was Elmo, after the Saint of Sailors. I'd say the bishop nearly had a heart attack when he heard this young Kilkenny man's new name. I'm afraid there was no excuse. Like, he's the king, sir.
Oh, my God.
Rory, what's his full name? Get back in touch, yeah. Rory. Oh, my God.
Elmo. put him in a love-hate fan. Daniel emailed podcast@twojohnnies.ie. Well, lads and more, this email is in relation to the topic of a couple of weeks back of odd names and who you're named after. My name is Daniel, which isn't an odd name. It's actually quite common, but instead of being named after the more common Daniel, say, Daniel O'Donnell, I'm actually named after Romanian footballer Daniel Timofte. Now, Daniel is a legend in his native Romania after having multiple stints with Dynamo Bucharest, where he won the league and various bits of silverware.
Oh, of course.
However, he would be considered a legend to Irish people, and as he hit the penalty that Paddy Bonner famously saved in Italian 90. My mother, who was heavily pregnant with me during this time, felt too sorry for him for missing the penalty. She named me after him. So instead of being named Packy, I'm named after a man who bottled it in the biggest moment of his career. Loving the pod here in Vancouver. Looking forward to seeing you guys when you eventually get over. From Daniel.
Timofte against Bonner.
Wow, what
oh
a story.
God, that's class.
Andrew said, well, John, on baby names, an uncle of mine lives out in Oz and his fiance's friend named her daughter, I'm just going to spell it, lads, L-A-I-A. La?
Leah.
Yeah, okay. Could take a while to figure out the phonetics, so I'm just going to give it to you. They pronounce La dash. Yeah. So you pronounce the F and hyphen.
La Dashia. Sounds like a brand of fucking car.
Yeah.
La Dashia Duster.
New La Dashia. Like, so it's L-A dash.
As in hyphen, like. Yeah, like is that what it, like, you know, just to, so people can't see it.
Like a minus sign.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And he said, I met Ian Donoghue's a couple of months ago, the night the rugby team were in. Oh, say nothing about that now.
Yeah.
And he was the barman at another gig we did. How are you getting on, Andrew? Thank you.
Oh yeah. All right, yeah. Remember that gig? Wasn't our best work. Anonymous was in touch with the podcast. We're going to call this anonymous fella Damien. Well, lads, a few years ago I was single and was living in England for a few months. I'd been on a few dates with a girl and all was going well. Sorry, I'm laughing because I've read this piece of correspondence. All was going well, but I was... But it was all fairly laid back because I was hoping to move back to Ireland. Anyway, I invited her over for dinner and a few drinks one night when my housemate was out. Polished off the grub and a bottle or two of wine before heading up to my room. Things got pretty steamy, so down I went to drop the head. I wanted to make a good impression, so I was really concentrating. Eyes closed, trying hard to focus on technique. Thought I could get a metallic taste, but ploughed on regardless. She was loving life, making all the right sounds and moans and groans. I opened my eyes just to get the lay of the land. You can imagine my surprise to see the blood everywhere. All over her thighs everywhere. I touched my face, it was in my beard. She was there, eyes still closed, saying, don't stop. I was like, I think I should. She opened her eyes, saw the mess, saw my bloody face and started to freak out. She must have thought I'd been trying to ate her to the hip bone. So we both ran out to the bathroom. She was full of apologies. Over at the toilet, cleaning herself with Tylerol. I was at the sink trying to wash the blood off my face. But the more I washed, the more blood seemed to be spilling into the sink. I felt like Lady Macbeth or something. Meanwhile, she's all apologies, telling me she was sure her period ended 2 days previously. I was reassuring her when something dawned on me. I stopped scrubbing my face and stared at the sink as big red drops of blood dropped into the sink. Plip, plop, plip. Slowly, I raised my hand to my nose and realised that my nose was bleeding. All the blood had been mine. Needless to say, that was a bit of a mood killer, and between the wine, the shock and the blood loss, we decided to cuddle that night. As I was nodding off, she told me she was starting to fall for me. In my head, I was like, Jesus, and I never saw her again. That takes some baiting now. I laughed my head off when I seen that during the week.
Maura, your topic had people exercised, divided, loving it and hating it. Another emailer said, for obvious reasons, please keep my name anonymous. I'm a big fan of period sex and we have cracked code. I have some tips to make it zero mess as approved by my fiancé.
I tell you one thing, you won't get this with David McWilliams, will you?
Only the finest conversations. Two Johnnies, period sex. I know, Eamon, you can't say that. This guy, she's writing in about period sex.
Period sex, Bill.
Period sex, spoofer. No one does it. No one does it. The main tip is to use a moon cup. It's a reusable funnel that's made of silicone. You insert it up your vajayjay and it collects the blood higher than a tampon. Side point, the main reason I got a moon cup was that they are really environmentally friendly and way cheaper over the long term than pads and tampons. With the moon cup, the blood is caught higher up and it leaves your vagina relatively clean, therefore allowing some pleasurable clit foreplay. The next secret is the girl should go on top. This also helps to keep the sheets clean, as there is a barrier, i.e. the man, between you and the sheets. Also, it allows the woman better control, as you're way more sensitive and your vulva is more swollen during your time of the month. Sex on your time of the month is great. Definitely helps cramps and migraines and headaches. And sure, isn't it hard to resist?
Oh, just wait a couple of fucking days, will you?
Like, she calls
in the name of all the time holy. Sorry, John, to be cutting across you there. I feel lightheaded after hearing that. I'm sure a lot of listeners are probably the same. There's probably some fella after crashing a tractor right now.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, send your invoice to the sex, yeah. the period sexpert. Well, if you're such a sexpert, why did you start your correspondence with, for obvious reasons, keep me anonymous?
Ah, she doesn't want people to know she's having period sex.
Exactly.
Yeah, taboo.
This guy's a spofer.
And I'd just like to say as well, to anybody who is suffering from anything that we've talked about on today's show, you can call 1-890-PERIOD. There you go. Hi, guys. Following on from Maura's mystery topic and the nickname topic from a few weeks ago, I want to tell you a story about a guy I know called Captain Redbeard.
No! Oh,
there's no getting away from this.
Maura!
Absolute filth!
I'm trying to get a fucking sponsor here, Maura. Come on.
I'll tell you one thing. Next week, with Two Johnnies, sponsored by Tampax. Okay, years ago.
Dettol. Domestos for when you've ruined your grandmother's sheets. Fire lighters, we want that.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to try and get through this. Years ago, there was this group of kids in my year that went camping during the summer. You know the drill, we've all done it. Get new batteries for the portable speaker, gather some firewood, steal a few of your mum and dad's cans from the press, and you'd be lucky if you could get your hands on some fags. Everyone lands in a big field with a few pop-up tents and everyone just acts to gowl for the night. This particular boy and girl were getting to know each other quite well, so they decided to move into one of the tents.
Must have been asking questions.
Yeah, I was having a quiz or something.
Favorite biscuit?
Around 20 minutes later, the lad emerged first with a big smile on his face, waiting for the fist pump from the lads. But all he got was horrified looks and retching sounds. "The fuck is wrong with all ye?" asked the lad, only to be horrified at seeing his reflection in a phone that had been handed to him. The girl had her yolks and he went in and gave her a lick. He had red bloody shite all down his chin. I don't know if he or she knew about Rag Week beforehand, but his face told us he had no idea. He'd go home with his tail between his legs and lo and behold, never went back. Ever since, he's been known as Captain Redbeard.
Camping is dangerous. Anonymous was in touch by email. Hi lads and Maura, just writing to you regarding lads. The thing. So myself and my girlfriend took our first holiday as a couple last summer to the Amalfi Coast. Ah, Sligo. We stayed what's that, Italy, isn't it? We stayed in a lovely guest house off the beaten track run by an old married couple. The guest house was Greek themed. Everything was white and tiled. The rooms even had the names of Greek gods. So when we arrived, we were greeted by a 60-year-old man named Franco, who resembled a King Charles, and his wife Maria. We had told him that in our booking, we were coming for our honeymoon, just to see if we'd get free Prosecco in the room on arrival. We kept up the married couple facade on greeting them. We got there, it was great, really nice, they gave us the Prosecco, the whole lot. Anyway, we get into the hotel room, got a little tipsy, got down to business. This was when my girlfriend realized it was her time of the month. Now, we had only booked 4 nights in this amazing guest house that had cost me, a student, and my girlfriend, a nursing student, a hard summer's work. So it was safe to say we were going to get our money's worth. We threw down towels to help with the mess. The towels were white. And whipped out the Nutella because, well, why not? Do you want me to get into it? Why not? And then we got down to...
So you're making a fucking flan.
And we got down to business. Next day, the phone in the room rang. It was Franco. He was ringing to let us know that the cleaning lady would come around to get the towels. We thought, great, fresh towels needed. And we put the old towels into the trolley. We did it ourselves so nobody would see the blood, Nutella, etc. The girl arrived minutes later and we do as planned. Only thing is, a small guest house with not too many rooms, and it's a pity we didn't realise that the one doing the washing was his daughter. So about an hour later, we heard a scream from the washroom as the daughter found our towels. We got a phone call to the room asking if either of us had been injured. And when we replied no, with a confused attitude, they politely asked in broken English if we could not use towels to clean up our excrement, as one of the guests had completely destroyed their towels in doing so. Thankfully, they never copped it was us, but safe to say, I couldn't look at that King Charles in the eyes ever again. Let's leave it there, so.
If you're of a nervous disposition, relax. That's the end of...
That.
Any rag talk. We're going to
move it on, John.
I'll move it on. Anonymous was in touch.
Nurses and doctors.
Nurses, more like it. More like it. Proper stories. Becca was in touch. She says, hello, lads. I love to... Oh, fuck. We'll take away her name there. She'd like to remain anonymous on the topic of frontline stories. I'm a care assistant in a hospital in Dublin. I used to work in the emergency room at a hospital. One night, I was on with a lovely new Italian midwife when we got a call from an inner city Dublin lady. The midwife answered the phone and the woman said, I've a pain in me, Mary. I think it's labour. What will I do? This made the midwife awful confused. The midwife replied, I don't know what you mean. Is Mary okay? Can you put Mary on the phone, please? Well, I fell out my chair laughing and had to explain the miscommunication to the confused midwife and the slightly insulted patient. Would love to say a huge thank you to yourselves and Mara. I've just returned to work following a COVID precaution isolation and you all helped in keeping me sane. Love the podcast. Thanks a million. Fair play to you, Anonymous.
I never heard it called a Mary.
No, Nervina must be a Dublin thing.
Is that
it's a
Fanula. I've heard it being called a Fanula.
It's not Cockley Ryman slang for it.
No, not in Dublin.
You never know.
Mary. Fairy, maybe.
Holly via email said, hi guys. Just want to say that I've been really enjoying the stories of the last 2-3 weeks, but please acknowledge other healthcare professionals out there in the front line other than doctors and nurses who are amazing. You may also get some more gas stories if you do. Oh, lads, we love you all. Sorry, not trying to be a nagging Nelly. I just know that it can be hard to keep up morale at the moment and rarely hear other hardworking healthcare professionals get mentioned. So big up to physios, speech therapists, occupational therapists, radio therapists, dietitians, etc., who are all battling the healthcare frontline and trying to navigate this difficult time too. So we would love to give them a shout and a bit of acknowledgement. Well, Holly, we love them all, the drivers, the cleaners, people in the labs.
Social care workers, everyone, the whole lot. You're everybody. All great.
But Holly, if your story isn't funny, I don't want to hear it.
Can I just ask, do you have a name for your area?
The Captain.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
You call it the Captain?
I don't know.
Do you have a name for your Mary, Mara?
I'd probably call it, when I was younger, I'd probably call it my Foofy. Yeah, like, if you landed on the handlebar.
I always call it my Willy.
Yeah, if I said, like, if you're riding your brother's bicycle, you know the way the men's bicycles have a bar across the top and you brake too hard and suddenly you land on the top and be like, I hurt my foofy. So, yeah, very sore.
Okay, so mind your Mary's, lads.
Thanks very much for that, Holly.
Aveen was in touch. Hey lads, a story in a hospital for you. So my mam is a nurse in Cavan, but before she made the great move here, she was working as a newly qualified nurse in Drogheda Hospital about 30 years ago. I was chatting to her the other day about the podcast and all the crazy stories when she started to laugh. She began to tell me a story of an experience she had. She was working in the emergency department one day when a middle-aged man came in after fainting at home. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with him, so the doctor sent him off for a few different tests as he was quite distressed and not fully with it. One of the tests included an x-ray. Mam said that reading x-rays wasn't her strong point, but she said if she couldn't read this one, she would have quit her job on the spot. The x-ray was put up on the board and her, The doctor began to examine when all they could see was a big jar of Coleman's mustard in his arse.
What?
She said... she said she was always a professional, but that day she couldn't keep the laughing in. A jar of mustard, of all things. He had to be knocked out with anesthetic, and the doctor had to go up there with a forceps. Avine. Oh, you know, like, you know the little small cans of Coleman's mustard, like?
Yeah.
He wanted them up his butt.
Why?
I don't know, lad.
Is that a sex thing?
But I don't know. But I tell you, like, Coleman's mustard's potent, lad. If that had opened inside him, he'd had a whole different fucking kettle of fish, lad. That stuff is that is potent. Anyway, we've reached the lads. I thought the correspondence last week was good. This week is even more crazier than ever. Who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug?
I would nearly give it to the nurse with the Coleman's mustard.
Oh, what about your man with the nosebleed?
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's pretty good.
Mara?
Damien. Yeah, I think Damien as well. The nursing story is great as well. But yeah, Damien. Yeah. I read it during the week and I was still laughing about it a day later. So.
So, Avine, unlucky, Damien, anonymous Damien, you've won for your nosebleed. You've won the podcast mug this week. Maura, few people on to us there last week. You overruled us on Angus not winning the mug last week. Couple of disgruntled people on to us, Maura.
Oh, yeah. I got a fair amount of abuse over it. Sorry about that.
So, look, we said it to Angus. He's just gonna have to send us a better story.
Yeah, you're in the mix, Angus. Send him in.
Still in the hunt. Right, the weekly roundup. What's been going on this week, John?
Not a whole pile. Yeah. We did a video of... we re-recorded Maniac 2000 because I love...
Yeah.
I love how you do the voice. Mm. I think you're better at doing Mark McCabe than Mark McCabe is. Just putting that out there. A lot of people taken aback by my performance in a leotard.
Well, particularly the performance of your two...
The captain.
The captain. The captain and his
two shipmates. His first mates. So, your lady volunteered a pair of gym pants.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is funny. Like, what else have we got? And then you came on with this...
A leotard. So yeah, we're kind of going for like an 80s kind of, you know, Call on Me, you know, that video, that kind of look.
So this is a kind of a top that would look well on a woman because the bottom wouldn't be seen. It just buttons closed under between your legs.
Like a baby bra.
And then you put like a dress or pants or whatever over it. Mm. But of course I had the the buttons visible. And it got quite the reaction.
That video has got almost 1 million views. And I would say almost 100,000 of comments, I would say, are probably just, his nuts.
Yeah, well, you know. Hey. Give the people what they want.
Did the job. I thought you looked great, lad.
Thanks. We've got another really funny video coming out. It should be out today, Monday. We have another little funny song for y'all. We're trying to keep the Instagram ticking.
Trying to keep things going. Also, by the time that you're listening to this podcast, you'll have seen Johnny B getting a haircut from none other than myself, Johnny Smack. So yeah, we teamed up with Chill Insurance. They're doing this competition. You can win €3,000 worth of home goodies, so widescreens, all that kind of stuff. Great prize. And all you gotta do is post a video of you getting a home haircut or giving it on your Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and you're in the hunt.
Tag them, Chill Insurance. It's worth entering, lads, if you're listening, because they have loads of prizes to give away.
Yeah.
It's on our Instagram page anyway. I think they were just watching us and they just felt that my hair was gone too wild. They had to intervene.
Yeah, when I seen the prize, I was like, wonder can you give me the prize? So yeah, fair play. Check out that video there.
Also this week, it got a big reaction on our Instagram. I was watching a movie called Fatal Deviation, made in 1998 in Trim, County Meath. It was Ireland's first ever full-length martial arts movie. Once again, this is a martial arts movie set in Trim, County Meath, and Manny's A Film website have rated it the worst movie ever made. Okay. It stars Mikey from Boyzone.
Oh yeah, that's the film, is it?
Is it Graham Geraghty, the footballer, makes a cameo appearance. Wow. And then they just round up lots of people from around the town. And it's hilarious. It's very entertaining.
It's incredible. Like, I've given you loads of good recommendations.
I'm watching them.
Yeah, and like anytime I, you're like, I come into you and I'm like, did you see that show I recommended? And you're like, no, no. And then I go onto your Instagram and you're watching fucking Graham Gehrig and Mikey Graham doing Kung Fu, like.
Yes, class.
I give up, lad, with my recommendations.
Highly recommended. Oh, also, I've I built me birdhouse. Getting into bird watching a bit, you know what I mean? Yeah, lockdown starting to kick in.
My God, like, getting into bird. Don't ever let me hear that sentence come out of your mouth again.
Man, I've got an issue. I've got a flock of sparrows moving in on me. You know what I mean? They're pushing me blue tits out a little bit. So a couple of chaffinch is going to have to intervene later. We'll see. I'll follow up next week.
You're living on the edge, man. I watched a Late Late this week, and it was something that just wrecked my head. I felt like I just had to say something about what it was. People are going mental on social media because Leo Varadkar took out his notes on the Late Late Show.
It's so the Taoiseach of Ireland.
Yeah.
Prime Minister.
So he's on the Late Late Show, our flagship show on television here in Ireland. And Ryan Tubridy, the host, is coming at him. He's asking him a lot of questions. And then I think the particular first one he asked him was, if a member of your family is dying, when can you go to visit them, see them face to face? And instead of just like, you know, saying what he thought was
the answer.
He said, do you mind if I refer to my notes? Because we've just, you know, published this plan. So he reached into his jacket pocket, pulled out the plan and gave Ryan Tubridy the answer.
Mm.
And people are going bananas. Whereas I think he done the right thing. Instead of giving an answer that, you know, maybe he thought was right or just saying something off the cuff, he went and found the correct answer, then gave the correct answer. Rather than Trump or Boris Johnson talking out her arse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the argument is that he should have known, John.
Well, I would imagine that he's probably spent 2 days in meetings trying to come up with this plan. And I mean, it's fairly fresh. I'd say they literally finished that plan and then it went to press.
Yeah.
I would think if you asked Jurgen Klopp the details of Liverpool's training, it's not his job to know all the ins and outs. He's got a bigger picture job.
Yeah.
And I would, for me, it's no problem. Not a massive fan of Leo Varadkar. Just, I do not have a problem with somebody checking their notes.
Yeah, I think, and then, like, obviously, as there always is online, there's personal attacks then of him as well and stuff like that.
This for me is, stop being a keyboard warrior. If you have a problem, write to your local politician.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, run in for politics yourself.
Yeah.
Vote, campaign. That's four things you can do.
Hmm.
Outside of that, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I see your point. It's wrecking my head. I like, to be honest, I nearly when he was like, do you mind if I refer to my notes, I kind of felt sorry for him. I was kind of like, oh.
I don't know. It could be stage two. You don't know.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we're pretty cynical when it comes to politics here in Ireland.
Maura, you're more experienced than us in this.
I think there's, look, I agree with you kind of that, like politicians are fair game and we should be critical of them, but I'm not going to be critical of someone for, you know, double checking their notes. I think that's a perfectly valid thing to do. Like, if you want to be critical of Leo, there's other things you can be critical about, but that, I think it's just like, it's not like Donald Trump telling people like, oh yeah, you know, drink bleach. Yeah, that'll sort out the coronavirus.
Fucking hell, yeah. Yeah.
I wish he had checked notes before saying that.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
So give the man a break. Thanks a million to everyone as well who signed up to the Two Johnnies Extra podcast, which is on Patreon. We're loving the crack and we're going to keep it poked out. We're 6 episodes in now. Our last episode was Rockstar Bishop, where my mother went mental and called Roy Keane a dickhead, amongst other words. So again, you don't want to miss that podcast. Sign up, download the Patreon app, and it's €6 a month plus VAT, and we appreciate it. Thanks for everyone. Okay, it's been a testing time for us all, keeping within a 2 kilometre radius of your house, and the only time you get dressed up is to go and do the weekly shop. With this in mind, we decided to reflect on how best to deal with random members of the public, and what public service job deserves to be paid the best.
Well, John, they say it's an unskilled job, a lot of these jobs.
Yeah.
But we're asking, what traits do you need to have in order to work with the public?
Yes, exactly.
You've got strong feelings, John.
Like, the thing is here, it is a skilled job, first of all, working with the public.
Pick a job.
Supermarket worker.
Technically unskilled.
As in, like, what, you're not a carpenter or you're not...
You don't have a diploma or a diploma. Whatever, yeah.
Okay, so it's unskilled, so you don't need any skill. Would you not say people skills?
I worked in that same supermarket as you.
Yeah.
And there were some employees who had no people skills.
Yeah, but I'm saying in I'm saying in order to be a good employee,
yeah,
you need people skills.
Remember the lad who used to pretend he was a priest?
Yes.
Yeah, while he was stacking the fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. Granted, he's not a people's person.
He's an exception, though.
Yeah, like he was class in the store out the back. You know what I mean? He was good in his own little way. But I think there is a skill to this because I've worked in supermarkets, I've worked in clothes shops,
yeah,
I've worked in fucking pharmaceutical plants, I've worked everywhere. Obviously, you know, never really held on to shop for that long, but
quite find your niche yet.
Yeah,
you keep going.
I'm still finding my way, but I think there is a skill to dealing with members of the public, and that's the difference between good staff and bad staff.
Okay. So I come up and I'm like, you know, these oranges are gone off.
Yeah. That's no bother, Maisie. I'll get you ones that aren't going off. Very sorry about that.
Well, that's not good enough.
Yeah, look, I'll make sure it won't happen again.
After coming all the way in from town.
I'll have a word with the manager. I'm sorry.
I'm distraught.
Yeah, look.
I'm going to write to the paper.
Can I offer you an old cup of coffee there, Aunt Maisie? Just settle you down.
No, I don't. I can't drink coffee. It's bad for my heart.
Right, fuck off then, Maisie. And die. I've done my bit, right? I've tried. You're fucking uncompromising, Maisie. You're busting me chops.
The shop is better off without you, Maisie. Yeah, yeah. Have you ever made a complaint over bad customer service?
No. She can't be arsed. I've probably been complained about, I would imagine.
Why?
There's probably been testing times there. So like when I started in my job as a butcher, the old butcher had left, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, he used to do this and that. And then I would often reply, but like, well, fucking go and buy your meat off him then. Probably.
Your employer was not mad about that response, I'd say.
In the end, he was like, you know, like people would come up and chance you as in saying like, oh, he used to do that for me wicked cheap. And then like, you'd be like, well, I'm not like. And then I said to my boss, I was like, look, they're telling me that. And he was like, well, tell them to fuck off them then.
Oh, were they chancing their arm with you?
Yeah.
He used to give it to me half price.
Yeah. Oh, geez, he used to do 2 chops for me for €3. And I'd be like, well, you know.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. He's gone. You know, go up to him if you want him. But I think working with the public can be stressful. That's why I think they should be higher paid, those people in those jobs.
Yeah, but did you ever complain?
Did I ever complain?
Like in a restaurant?
No, I've never complained in a restaurant. I would eat shit rather than complain.
Why?
For example, me and Annie were on holidays and we got a meal. We got recommended this restaurant and we went in and we were hungover now. And she ordered some sort of fucking pasta dish. And honestly, when it came out, it looked like white pudding was wrapped in Tyler roll. And that's what the pasta was like. And she was like, fuck, this looks horrendous. And I was like, look, taste it. It mightn't be that bad. She took one bite. It was like, Jesus, it's awful. And instead of being like, sorry, like this is cat, like we don't want this.
Yeah.
It was a small enough restaurant and it wasn't that busy. And like there was one waiter and she kept going around. And then eventually she turned her back and Annie just picked up the yolk of pasta and fucked it into her bag.
Into her handbag.
And then like I just kind of like what I was eating wasn't great either. I fucking fucked it around on the plate to make it look like I had a go at it. And then we're like, oh, thanks a million. And she was like, everything okay? We were like, oh, Lord, oh, top notch. Oh, she's lovely. Oh, lovely, yeah.
Why?
Because we're fucking weirdos. And that's what Irish people do. We don't complain. We just shut up. It's like that. It's like getting a haircut. You're getting an absolutely scandalous haircut. Your man goes, is that all right for you? And you go, yeah, bud. That's fucking grand. Like, and you go to the door in and put your fist through the wall because he's hocked the head off.
You know that old saying that a customer who really enjoyed their experience tells one person.
Yeah.
And someone who had a bad experience tells 5 people.
Yeah, I told nobody to go to that restaurant.
Exactly. Why didn't you complain?
It's closed down, though. it served me purpose. Have you ever complained?
100%.
I bet you, man. I bet you you're a pain in the arse in shops.
I'm forward. Like, I was in a fancy restaurant and I ordered venison. And, like, it's an unusual cut, like, but it was too tough. Real fancy. It was expensive now. And I said to him, I was like, I got a medium, man. That's fair tough. Like, I can't eat that.
Yeah. What'd he say?
He said, no bother. I'll ring back to the chef. Came out, it was the exact same. I was like, let's leave it there. So, grand.
You left it?
Yeah.
Did you pay for it?
Yeah.
Oh, that wouldn't be like you, lad. That must be. Where was that restaurant? On name and shame.
Kilkenny.
Was it?
Can't remember the one now.
Okay.
But
no.
when keeps me awake at night.
When Johnny said that was expensive, it was €7 for a whole venison dinner.
That I will never, ever get back.
Yeah, no, Maura, have you complained?
I have, yeah.
You strike me as the complaining type.
Yeah, I definitely see. I'm a hothead. Like, we've a family pub at home, and my temperament was never suited to work behind the bar because I just don't have the patience to deal with drunk people. So, like, I think my dad is way better at it. Dad is just like, just treat them calmly and kindly and you'll get, whereas I blow the head and be like, get the fuck out or whatever, you know.
Get out my pub.
You're barred. I wouldn't have the power to bar someone, but like, you know, I think it's fine to complain. I do think you do need to have good manners though, when you're doing it. And just be polite and just be explained that, look, be thoughtful and, especially to the waiter and the waitress, people are, if there's something wrong with the food, it's not the waiter or waitress's fault. They just bring the food. It's the chef who's made the shite food. So I wouldn't have an issue with it. But be polite or be don't blow the head like I do occasionally. I'm getting better. Calm down.
When was the last time you've complained, Mar?
Oh, God. I probably, when I brought something back into a shop, I'd know, like, a zip had stopped working on jeans or something like that. And I was just like, can I get a refund, please? And they were like trying to give me just a similar pair back. And I was like, no, I want my refund. This is a faulty product. And I started reciting, you know, the...
it's not fit for its purpose. 1985 Shop Supply Act or something.
Yeah, the relevant legislation. So they gave me my money back. But yeah, I don't see the harm in it. I don't see the harm in complaining once you're treating the person fairly. I don't like people taking their bad moods, which is what I see it a lot. Like, I was reading this article during the week, the Irish Times, that people were queuing for butchers in Ranelagh. And obviously with social distancing, you know, you might be 20 minutes before you get into the butchers to get served. And people were giving about the length of time they're waiting, getting very snappy. And the butchers actually had to put up a sign saying, "We will not serve rude people." And I just thought that the fact that they had to do that is so sad, and I hope those people that were rude went without and had to eat, you know, vegetarian food for the week. So
yeah. May you die starving. I actually seen a video during the week, a little bit off topic here, but over in England, there was a fella in the shopping centre abusing staff, and I don't know, something must have happened inside. He didn't seem like he was a nice person, and he was abusing the staff outside, and they were trying to calm him down, and a delivery driver gets out and starts like, you know, fucking your man over. He's like, "Well, don't be abusing the staff. There's a fucking pandemic going on or whatever." And your man kind of says to him, like, "I'll do you in or something." And the delivery driver cracks him with a headbutt. Absolutely cracks him. I tell you, your man picked up his bag. He went away. He wasn't going shopping that day. We don't condone violence here on the Two Johnnies. But, you know.
You've come close to it, surely, Smacks. Like, so, like, what can we do? What's your advice for people to make life easier for staff who are dealing with the public?
Yeah, so I think particularly here we're talking about there's loads of jobs where you're dealing with the public, teachers, guards, all that kind of stuff. But I'm kind of talking about particularly here from a retail point of view, right? Because that's where I've worked most of my life until I actually got a job I liked, hence the Two Johnnies. But retail, right? If you're in a clothes shop and you're a parent and you've got a toddler with you, right? Don't just let the toddler walk around the shop and do as they please, right? So I used to work in a menswear shop, and everything was perfectly presented and folded and whole lot. You'd have stacks of
You are a neat freak.
Yeah, but that was just the shop in general. And this woman came in, and her kid was around 3 or 4, and she just lets, like, she's browsing, right? Pulling out jumpers. Oh, that's nice. The kid's going around wrecking the gaff, right? He's pulling down everything. I'm going around like, fucking hell, will you stop pulling down the stuff? And then she goes, Sorry about that, right? After the kid has absolutely bombed the shop at this stage. And I'm like, yeah, no bother. Because what can you say? But in my head, I'm thinking, what were you expecting? Like, why didn't you hold his hand or put him in a fucking buggy? What did she think the child was going to do? Like, the kid at that age doesn't know what he's at. He's going around like Mr. Melton things. Like.
Is this the first time he's ever acted like this?
Yeah. And she seemed like, oh, surprised by it. Like,
are you shocked?
So, number one, if you're in a clothes shop, either hold your child by the hand or put him in a buggy, or even better, leave him a fucking home, right? Here's another one. When I was working in the butchers, and I started off there in the deli, don't paw the glass. Right, this is an absolute pet hate. I'm like, do not paw the glass. Right, it's not the first time you've seen a chicken fillet. You know, a lad's coming in, two hands up on the glass, looking in at it, like it's fucking bar of gold or something.
Stop Indiana doing, Jones.
But like, when you paw the glass, we have to clean it. So stop pawing the glass. And it's just unhygienic and it's dirty. Get your filthy hands off the glass, right? That's another one. If you're in a clothes shop, so here's how it works mostly in clothes shops. Some people will be a designated greeter. Okay, so you walk in the door of the clothes shop and I say, hi, how are things?
That's a shit job.
So you've been greeted. Yeah, but like, you know, that's most things. But most people will say, hi, how are you? If you need anything, let me know. And people get offended in Ireland, right? We're like, fucking hell, only in the door. Leave me alone, will you? Like,
yeah.
But what they mean by that, right? Now, some people are trying to sell. They're probably on commission, right? But a vast majority of people say, hi, how are you? Let me know if I can get you some. And what they mean is, you see that stack of really neatly folded shirts that are presented beautifully for you to look at?
Yeah.
Don't fucking wreck it trying to pull out an extra large from the bottom, right? Call me and I'll come over and do it for you. So I'll do it neatly and I won't have to spend 25 minutes restacking it after you've fucked out all the shirts. So that's what it is. Ask. Always ask. They want you to ask them. So it's better you ask me for a size rather than wreck my display and I have to go back and do it again.
That's so Irish. I would never be like, there's a stack of t-shirts right in front of me. I don't want to go through them. Pull me out a medium.
Yeah. I'd just be like, sorry, do you have a large in that?
Yeah, but if they're in front of me, I feel like I should go through them myself.
Yeah, but you're wrecking the gaff then. You're upsetting it. Like, you're actually... So no, you're asking me for pointers here, how to help the staff.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I've worked... And if you go into the... This is another one, right?
Right. Go on.
You know when you go in and try on clothes?
Yeah.
And like, say you don't like them or they don't fit or whatever.
Yeah, you're not taking them.
Yeah, and you either leave them on the floor, right? Don't do that.
No, there should be a hanger there.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes there isn't, though.
But in most good shops, there's a hanger there. So if you don't like the clothes, put them back in the hanger and leave them on that rail.
Yeah.
People think they're helping when they put them back on the hanger and walk back to the shop and put them where they got them.
Okay.
But they're not always helping.
Why?
Because most shops have a particular way of putting a hanger and a particular way of hanging things, particular way of hanging jeans particularly.
Yeah.
So if you're there, just put them on the rail and let the staff member put them back. Rather than that night... When everyone's tidying up the shop, they're like, fuck, 12 pairs of jeans there, back to front. Gotta take them all off the hanger, put them back. That's why that rail's there. See, I'm just educating people.
Thanks,
here.
John.
Yeah, no bother. That's the main ones. And also, like, in a shopping centre, keep your kids, I mentioned it, like, hold their hand. Because
you once kicked a child in the face.
Yeah, but it was a complete accident. Of course, sometimes I would be wishing bad things on people, but no.
Wait, did you, like, in a shop when you had a kid running around, did you ever, like, trip a kid?
No, but I often thought, like, if you fell now, like, it would serve you right. No, I was working in the menswear shop, and they sent me to another shop to like, demonstrate something or something like that at the time, and their shop was in the shopping centre, and I was walking to get my lunch, and I was just walking along, kind of half-spaced out, and next thing all I heard was, like, and I was like, shit. And looked down on the floor and there was a kid there lying out on the ground. He had ran and banged into me while I was walking. Like, I didn't even see him. Like,
right.
I'm 6 foot. Like, that kid's a toddler. I didn't even see him.
And survival of the fittest, you know?
Yeah. No.
He got to go.
No, but like, immediately I thought, oh God. You know, and the child was like hegging, like, yeah, onto the ground. So like, I don't know what any human would do. I bent down to pick up the child. Pick him up and just be like, geez, he all right? And the mother come over and was like, get your hands off him. You want to keep your eyes open. You want to keep your eyes open and stuff like that. Like, and I was like, fucking hell, you want to fucking hold on to your child and stop letting him run around this. It's not a fucking play park, love.
So okay.
I'll just say, I'm sorry, lads. I've gone a bit ranty there. I've probably upset people.
Okay, well, my main experience of working with the public was in when I was making and selling Hurleys. Mm. And the thing about Hurleys is, lads, everyone thinks they're an expert.
Yeah.
And because I perhaps didn't look... like a Hurley expert with my long hair and beard. And, you know, it was young.
But if you were selling Megadeth CDs, lad.
Ching, 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 ching. So lads used to come in with like old wives' tales about Hurleys, what they were looking for.
Okay.
Didn't want to believe me. And I would just say, no bother, lad.
Would you?
Yeah, 100%. Lad called in one day, about 15, 16. I'm looking for a 32. I said, no bother. I said, I actually only got one left. There it is there. He had a look at it. Nah, don't like that. Don't like that at all. I said, look, call back tomorrow, I'll have a rake. He called back the next day and I had made 24. So there was 25. The one he left after him and the 24 new ones. He gave about 15 minutes, went through every one of them, picked up a Hurley and said, ah, that's unreal. No, that one. That one is class. Exactly what I'm after. It was the one he'd left the day before.
Oh my God.
And I know
God.
It because it was the only one that I had taped and stamped. It was clearly the exact same one.
Fucking
and, hell. And I served him, right? And then after I had his money and all and he was just walking out the door, I said, hey lad, that's the one you said was shite yesterday. Close the door.
Yeah.
But one thing that drove me mad was cold calling.
Oh, yeah.
When I started back up the Hurley business, I had to cold call people. So I got the book that has all the info about clubs and there'd be secretaries' names and numbers. And I would just ring and introduce myself. Hated it. But like, you know what I mean? Didn't want to starve to death, so I needed to drum up business.
Yeah.
Cold calling GA clubs. And I'd send out samples to some people and like a lot of positive responses. People would say, go on, we'll take a dozen and see how we go. And one lad was like, that's the worst Hurley I've ever seen. No bother, hung up, move on. Don't get into it like.
Yeah. I'm too hot-headed.
You get into an argument.
100% like. When I was Super Value, I'd see people coming and be like, I'm fucking ready for you now. Come on. What do you want? A pound of mince, is it? No bother. We'll get it on, lad.
You must have had like the different kinds of people in the supermarket butcher counter. Like.
The amazing thing is like, say someone comes in and gets like a mince, right? Pound of mince. And you're like, that's €3.12. And they're like, sure, we'll call it three. And I'm like, no, we'll call it 3 fucking 12 because that's what it is. And I don't have a magic portion that I fucking do to the weighing scales to make it weigh something different so that your price is different.
It is what it is.
12 cent. Like, you'd have, people haggling. Like, I just get angry. I'd be in the back then kicking the fuck out of a fucking bit of pork or something. Play Rocky. I used to let it get to me. And it, like, even coming home from work. If a customer annoyed me, I'd be in a bad humour. So, like, I should have just left it at the door, but I just couldn't. It ate away at me. That's why retail almost broke me, to be honest, in the end. I hated it. Like, and sometimes, like, customers would be wrecking my head so much, I'd want to get rid of them so quick.
Yeah.
I worked in another shop in, I might as well say it, like, fucking Iceland.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that like...
Frozen food.
Yeah. Also, like, I'm not having a go at them here or anything, but, like, if you're eating their meals, the frozen meals, you're probably going to die. I don't know about, you know, I don't know too much about food science, but I'd say that shit's not good for you, right?
If somebody can make a pizza for 49 cents, yeah. Like, you got to wonder what's in it.
If you're eating a meal for one for 99 cents, you're probably going to have health trouble. Anyway, I was working there. And like customers would be annoying me so much at the till, like just sometimes you're not in the right frame of mind to be working in retail.
You got to be in a positive mood, yeah. I think, behind the counter.
Yeah, that's the thing, and you got to be able to turn it on. I wasn't. I didn't want to work there. I was working there because I didn't want to be on the dole. And
yeah.
I was kind of taking that out on people. And like honestly, I'd be scanning through their stuff, and I'd be like beep, beep, and I wanted to get rid of them so quick. I was doing it real fast. I was like beep. And if it didn't beep, I just fucked it through the orc anyway. I'd say that place was hemorrhaging money. Like, I'd be just fucking get out as quick as you can. I should have been working in Aldi, where that's like an Olympic skill.
Yeah.
Dude, was fucking scanning everything. Quick as lightning.
To be honest,
I wouldn't employ me after listening to some of this shit.
Another place that I worked with people was in the council.
Mm.
Which is interesting, because as a carpenter, we were going around into people's houses.
Yeah.
And, you know... Council estates, some were fabulous. Some we had some dives.
Mm.
I remember when I just started, we were coming in like something small, like somebody's stove was smoking or something. We were in the area, they're like, will you have a look, lads? Went in about 11 o'clock Tuesday morning. Lad, about the same age as me, like 17, 18, down the stairs, no top on. Ma, will you get me cans?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Out the back door, then he was showing me like he had bulldogs and badgers for fighting.
Oh my God.
It was some baptism. It was one of the first jobs I was ever on. And we were in into a neighbour's house then. They'd had a house fire on like the week, Friday, Saturday. And it wasn't that bad, but we had to like replaster and the sitting room, whatever. Like, so it was obviously Monday morning by the time we got there. Maybe 10 or 11. Like, you know.
It was probably Tuesday, lad. You used to work in the council.
It was close to lunchtime, right? But we got there, anyway. And we're tipping away, and then I was like, what's your man at? And then the fellow who lived in the house, God love him, he was trying to strip the wallpaper in the hall with a butter knife.
Oh my God.
And for anyone who doesn't know, you need to wet the wallpaper and then use a paint scraper. Like, now you can get a steamer, a professional job. You get the whole place done in like 10 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
He was 2 days in with the butter knife, scraping. And I said to the boys, he said to me, do you have anything better? I don't know what I'm doing. And I went out to the, and I said to the boys, I was like, you know, should somebody tell your man? Like, we have the gear in the van. And they were just like, nah, fuck him. I had to tell him. I was like, oh, would you wet the wall, lad?
Ah, there's some bad people out there. But the thing I don't get, right, is I've worked every job. I worked in a pharmaceutical plant.
Yeah.
And I was getting 500 quid a week, right, which is very well paid for, as you say, a non-skilled worker. Now, this pharmaceutical plant, the job I was doing in there did not take any skill.
But you got trained?
Yeah, you get like 2 weeks training, but that's more in like health and safety and stuff like that. And like basically I was putting two pieces together, like Lego.
Yeah.
Putting two pieces together all day, 8 hours a day, passing it on to the next person. That was basically what I was at.
So good wages considering.
But yeah, 500 quid a week for that. Like, you're joking me. It was absolute great money. And when I worked in Super Value, I probably averaged maybe 320 a week, 330 a week.
For a far more skilled job?
Yeah. And plus, in say, Super Value and other shops like that, you've got to deal with the customers. And in fairness, when I was in Super Value, now I was good with customers. Like, Iceland, not so much.
You had all the old women in the town charmed.
Oh, less. Yeah, lad. To me, that was a skill. Like, I could have sold them anything.
Well, the fella they replaced you with didn't have your charisma.
Yeah.
Salesman town.
Yeah, there you
they
go.
They had to replace him.
Yeah, so.
It is a skill.
I think it's a skill anyway, but like, I was getting paid less for what I found what needed more skill, more thought, and it definitely was more stressful. So,
but how do you train someone? How do you interview someone and be like, I need a butcher? Like, he knows everything about meat, but he's not great crack.
He hasn't got the X factor, lad, to be a butcher.
Yeah.
Honestly, I can't believe we're having this conversation. He hasn't got the X factor to be a butcher.
So you're not going to ask him anything about meat. Be like, give me your greeting.
Yeah.
So he'll go in and be like, oh, how are you, Mary? Oh, yeah. The Donahue's are in again. Oh, he's great. Get him.
There is a skill to that. But I just think, I think in a while, people won't want to do those jobs in Ireland. Like, honestly. Like we own a chipper's at home. We're looking for staff. It's impossible to get someone. No one wants to do that kind of work.
And what you want behind the counter is someone with a bit of personality.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a barman.
Yeah, perfect example. Like they're low paid barman. Like, that is some skill to be a barman.
Oh, look at America.
Yeah. So that's the difference. That's what I'm saying. Why are these people paid so little? Like, you know, they're saying the average industrial wage is 38 grand. Well, it's not fucking any of the jobs I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know, where you're pulling in 38 grand a year. You're joking me. Like.
That's good money. Just to see here, one that's interesting. Public sector wages were 50 grand a year in the public sector. Maura, are you on that? 50 grand a year.
Don't worry, Maura.
Don't answer that.
We don't want you to disclose that.
Do you want my pay slip or something? Yeah. Oh, my God.
No, but...
It's the toughest job for me. We've got a list here. The most stressful jobs, right? This is research by Workwear Giant. And they looked at three things. Earning, work-related stress, and unpaid overtime. So they found these are the most stressful jobs. At number five, customer service.
That's got to be number one. That has to be number one.
Number four, legal professionals.
They're getting paid a bomb.
Yeah, but like, it would be stressful.
It would be stressful, but like, if you win a case,
you can handle the truth.
Yeah, but if you win a case and get 25 grand, like, you'd be stressed for a while, but like, the money will get you over.
Like, you get a conservatory for that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Go on.
Number three, housing association professionals.
They get a lot of shit now, in fairness.
That's quite a niche bunch.
Yeah. How that number three, like, probably, again, well paid. Welfare professionals.
That's tough now.
And number two, is that like social welfare? Is that the fella you go into to say like...
Ah, he's getting some gruff.
Yeah, there's nobody fucking likes them, really. Like, I guess they're pretty cynical. They've probably seen it before.
Got a chancers.
Yeah.
Fella's limping in and out, you know?
Listen.
Number one, teaching.
They reckon teaching is the number one most stressful job. Again, teachers, especially in lockdown now, kids are at home and stuff, parents are definitely seeing how stressful teachers have it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you can spend 8 weeks traveling Thailand in the summer, you know, or visiting the 8 wonders of the world, or road tripping across America, the stress has got to be, if you're weighing it up.
Yeah, you're starting at about 37K and it goes up, you know, if you're good, you get up to like at least 50.
Yeah, now don't get us wrong. It is stressful.
A tough job.
But the overheads and the money and the time off that goes with it weigh it up against the stress.
For me, it's up there with like nursing. It's an absolute calling.
It's a vocation.
And a vocation. Too many people go in and become like a music teacher because they're good at music. Mm. I know people who are good at music and I wouldn't let them walk a dog. Yeah. They're like the nastiest, wildest, most unprofessional people.
Yeah.
And they just, because if they don't make it, their own, like, you know, if you don't end up in Guns N' Roses, I shall teach. It's like, don't. You are going to ruin an entire generation of children. Do you know what I mean? Like somebody who's good at like drawing or maths, like, and if they don't quite get the points to be an architect, I'll be a teacher. Nah, lad, just try harder.
Yeah.
Don't ruin children's lives.
So to sum this up, we started with this and I think we'd lost over it and we'll just finish on it. The traits needed to work with the public.
Patience.
Patience is number one. Like, if you have patience, I think you're 80%, 90% there.
Yeah, I think you just have to have the right personality and the right attitude for it. Also, don't take it home and, like, don't project. If you're in a bad mood, as soon as you put on the uniform or step in behind the counter, whatever, gotta leave it behind. Yeah. Make your own space. Like, there's people who work just serving coffee and they have a bit of crack about it. Maybe they get the tunes on. Like, definitely, you know,
makes
what I mean?
It makes the day easier. Like I used to get into the car in the morning and go to work and be like, another day of this, can't handle this. And then, you know, I just start putting myself in a happy mood. Like,
yeah.
Kind of, and then the day go faster and then the week's going and, you know.
You know, not to sound highfalutin, but like, we're all in charge of our own thoughts.
Mm. Yeah. Look, I've worked those jobs. I feel people's pain, honest to God. That's why I'm so happy to be doing what I'm doing now. I'm just blessed, like, because, you know, I hated it. And I was probably an angry man at the same time as well. So,
and the American list, the most stressful jobs, they put the
everything's stressful for us.
They put the military at number one. To be fair, lad.
To be fair, that is stressful, yeah.
Where were you? I gave 18 months in Kandahar, right? That's stressful.
Yeah, our American listeners, we feel your pain. Police officers, airline pilots, firefighters.
They have taxi drivers quite high.
Yeah.
Surprises me.
I don't know. You got to...
Surely being a surgeon is more stressful than being a taxi driver.
You've never worked in the supermarket properly, lad, full time. You know what I mean? You don't know what stress is. So I think the best way to open this up is, right, we've got the nurses and the doctors and our frontline workers like that sending us in hilarious stories. We're going to open that out now. Once you're working with the public.
Customer service.
Yeah, give us your horror stories. You know, what have customers ever complained to you? Have you complained to someone? Give us all your stories.
Yes,
we want it. It's going to be a new running thread on this podcast. It's working with the public. And to anybody out there working with the public at the moment, we salute you and we'll do our best as podcast listeners and creators to try and help you.
As you said, the medical staff are doing great work, but there's still people like in shops and all who are, you know,
we forget about them. And that's the thing, they're not being paid at an extra, really, are they?
No,
it's just as dangerous. He's an older gentleman who's a GAA stalwart and a national sex symbol. No, I'm not talking about Marty Morrissey. I am talking about Noel Furlong, because it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
How are you, young fella?
Well, Noel, how are you?
Not too bad, mate.
Another week in isolation.
Another day, another dollar.
Yeah.
Once again, when are you going at that intro music?
We will have it sorted in the coming weeks.
Good. I heard about a new rapper named after a duck.
Who?
Goose? Mallard? What is it? Drake.
Drake. Oh.
Yes, sorry. He'd do a song for you.
Yeah, we'll touch base with Drake maybe this week.
Dude, give him a shout. Well, whatever you do, don't get Dr. Dre.
Why?
He's useless.
Dr. Dre?
Yeah, he even named his own album Chronic. That's a bad start. I pulled him aside and I said, look, Dre, you want to believe in yourself. You know what I mean? No one's going to buy it. You call his album fucking Chronic, mother of God.
I think Chronic meant something else.
So anyway, I heard another lad on radio this week called Raddy Rich. He had a song called The Box. Do you know it?
I know that song.
That's
yeah.
exactly what I'd give him if I met him. A box in the jaw. Absolute scutter rap. I couldn't make out what he was saying.
Scutter rap.
NWA, now they were good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and did you ever come across the Ballydrehead NWA?
No, I actually never did.
Neighbourhood Watch Association. Not as well known, but equally aggressive. Roddy Rich couldn't dare, he gets unboxed. Hear that now, lad, huh? Gangster, me ring. So, I was only thinking, you were talking about names.
Yeah.
And you never asked me where I got my name.
Well, ask you now.
Ask me, yeah, go on.
Noel, where did you get your name?
I'm named after me father.
Okay, interesting.
His name was Carlos.
I don't get it.
Well, I had the same second name.
Okay, fuck's sake.
He was named after his father, Mick. And then he was named after his father, Moses. Very religious family.
Where did they get Carlos from?
Oh, sure. I don't know. He's the patron saint of something, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, patron saint of bishops.
Right.
Yeah, and Moses' father was a bishop. So it all comes around. Very, then for six generations before that, they were all called Pat.
Right.
It's funny, isn't it? Funny how it goes.
That is funny and also crazy.
Well, our family history, we'd have it down. Maura, are you being attacked by a dog? Do you need assistance?
No, I think it's the dogs going mad because the sheep's being moved. Sheep are being herded. So sorry, I'm sorry about that. No, sorry for the interruption. Sorry, but Daddy Faye needs to move a few lambs. You know yourself.
I know myself. Very interesting. Thank you. I'm sure I know what animals are like. Jesus, we had a fox come into the yard during the week.
Oh no.
Yeah, I tell you, he instantly regretted that decision when he was greeted by Morris the cock.
Was he?
Well, Morris roared the life out of him. I tried to intervene, but never come between a cock and his prey. Okay. The fox was traumatised.
Was he?
I gave him a lift home in the van.
Oh my god.
Fox would never be the same again. Now, lot of local people struggling with their lockdown.
Yeah.
To lockdown. So
lockdown.
To lockdown. So I have a couple of local businesses now who need a mention.
Brilliant. Sorry.
Well,
before we start this, have you been paid for this advertising?
That is currently unclear.
Unclear. Okay.
Depends who's listening.
And if businesses want to get in touch with you,
they can.
Okay. How?
To get touch with you.
Okay.
I'm on Twitter.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So businesses can find you on Twitter, or they can email podcast@thejohnnies.ie if they want Noel to advertise.
I'll do an ad for them if they're good.
Okay. Okay.
No shite now.
That's fair enough. No shite.
No shite. Okay. Get to Noel, seal of approval. Number one ad this week is, of course, Whelan's off licence.
Okay.
The schools are closed, the church is closed, but they're still shifting cider, right? Delivery service now available because Matt Whelan doesn't give a fuck. Cans to your door, no ID required. 24 cans of Bavaria will cost you €25 and your dignity. Delivery to your door provided by Paddy Fong. Gin for the ladies, whiskey for the men, and vodka for the Eastern European lads in your life. Pay over the phone. Do not give cash to Paddy Fong. He will drink it. Call 062 52555 and ask for Mickey Scoop.
I'm after flaming all over
this. No cans for you, child. A mineral for the young fella. Mickey Scoop is standing by to take your order. Personally, I don't believe in it.
What?
I don't drink at home.
No?
Never in my life. I only drink in the pub. Drinking at home is like touching yourself. It's so natural. Fellas watching porn. Like, watching porn is like watching a match where you don't know anyone playing. Do you know what I mean? You're just home for a bit of a spectacle, maybe a row. Suppose you might pick up a few things you could use at home or in using your own game.
It's true.
O'Connor's Main Street are now delivering. That's right, O'Connor's Shop, Main Street.
That's the best.
Well, you know Knocker, you do. Nigel O'Connor, Ireland's most stressed out man. His shop is losing a rake of money every day. But anyway, now you can phone in your order on 052-612-5299 and ask for Babs. Babs, of course, short for Deirdre. Friendly service and competitive prices. Half price onions now available. Don't ask where we got them. Keep the lady in your life happy with new washing up liquid. They have a lovely display in the shop, actually.
Do they?
When you go in, there's three cabbages on top of each other, otherwise known as a Polish snowman.
Christ.
Text Babs and your order to 083-311-3311. And I mean, you should. It's O'Connor's Main Street. And Paddy Fong will deliver to your door.
Is Paddy Fong doubling up?
Oh, God, yeah. Man in demand is the Fong, right? Again, no cash. No cash to Paddy Fong. He will drink it. Now, the church is closed, but now you can get mass on the go. Paddy Fong.
Stop.
Paddy Fong will deliver Father Joey to your door. Paddy has new top range speakers installed in the Astra. Get a 25 minute mass from the comfort of your own home for just €20. €5 a minute for every minute after that. Communion is extra. We're looking at turning a horse box into a mobile confession unit.
Very good. Very
you just stick your head in the back and Father Donahue will forgive you. And you needn't worry about him telling anyone because he's fucking senile. He can't remember what day of the week it is. So I told him I was planning a military coup in Zimbabwe and he said, to our fathers and an act of contrition. I said, Father, there hadn't been a shot fired yet. And he's like, okay, just the our fathers. So... But I might get to it yet. You wouldn't know. You'd want a good day for a military queue. Want to give a quick shout out to a lot of people doing fundraisers.
Mm.
There's a local man, Dick Murphy. He's raising money for frontline medical staff.
Okay.
And Dick wants to raise €11,500 so he can take 20 nurses to Santa Ponza. Next summer with him. And you know, now that I read that out, it is a strange one. So the government the government says he can only run 2 kilometres. So every night Dick is going to run 2 kilometres, and he'd love to run more, but the law is the law. So he does a 2 kilometre run and then he just walks home. He'd love to run more, but you know, some nights he does a 2 kilometre run and then he gets a lift home from Paddy Fong. So
the man in demand.
The man in the Astra, bite. Not Fong, bite. So you can text, just to, if you want to sponsor him, you just text up the dick to 083-311-3311. Well, as he says himself, he was in hospital last year and the nurses saved him. Dick needed the nurses and now the nurses need the dick. They deserve it. They've been working hard. They need to relax too. So just text up the dick to 083-311-3311.
I don't think there's ever been so, a better one.
Just God bless you all, mind yourselves, and I hope you're going to open the pub soon.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I don't drink at home. I wouldn't dream of it.
You're missing it.
Missing it big time. But I don't know how they're going to do it. Someone said to me they're going to like, they're going to take fella's temperature.
Okay.
Going into the pub. Yeah. To see if they're sick.
Yeah.
But how are you going to take the temperature of a man who's had 10 hot whiskies? Yeah, fucking blow the thing up. Fellas be sticking their head under the tap and all trying to cool down. You know what I mean? Anyway, go on. Good luck.
See you next week. We'll let you know if any businesses are in touch. Fair play.
Cash money.
Her mystery topic last week has left us with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Absolutely.
Hopefully this week won't. Maureen, what's your mystery topic this week?
So my mystery topic this week is about a mystery man. He's the guy that's gotten into all of our WhatsApp groups. We've all been pranks, you know, getting false news alerts about coronavirus. And then we click into the message and up pops this picture of this guy, an African-American guy sitting astride in the bed with a massive penis. So he's kind of a mysterious figure. Nobody knew really who he was, like, but it turns out that he's actually passed away. Would you believe it?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So the picture was actually taken in 2009 for a gay porn website.
Wow.
The owner, yeah. The owner of
because
the website.
Because we've all seen this meme. It's this massive, big black guy sitting on the edge of a bed. And like he's
got a massive
rod.
Yes.
And he's in so many WhatsApp memes. Anyway, yeah. Sorry, Maura, go on.
No. So basically, there's a lot to his story. So by all accounts, he was a really, really nice guy. So Alex Zaragoza, the senior staff writer at Vice.com, he's actually looked into this and he found out that the guy's name is Wardy Joubert. So that's WARDY JOUBERT. So
brother of Shane Ward.
So
Wardy boy.
Wardy was actually born in San Francisco in 1971. Tough life growing up. His mom passed away from Hodgkin's lymphoma when he was 11. He had a stepmother then. He went on to play American football for a little while professionally. He also worked as a bouncer. He was a deacon in his local church. So busy guy. But the thing is that he also had another side to him. So his girlfriend, Heather Allegria is her name. So she was filling in Vice a little bit all about kind of like Wardy's alternative lifestyle. Now, the first thing you want to know, you know, from his girlfriend, like, is the penis like photoshopped or is that actually his, you know, is it as big as it looks like or is it photoshopped? And she
and what
said,
did she say?
She said that it's only slightly altered. She said that's the one thing he was proud of. That's all of him. So
I would be too.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's yeah. It's frightening, like, to look at, like, you know, it's like
because yes. Harrowing.
Yeah, because it's flaccid as well. So like you imagine like when he gets excited that, you know, I don't know, I don't even think about it because, you know, that's just. Yeah, you'd be thinking about I don't even know I don't even want to think about like the physics or like, you know,
where to start.
He'd play a fucking baseball with that, yo.
Wouldn't get onto a plane with that.
Yeah, I don't know, but he put it to good use because he did have this other side to his life, which included hanging out in sex clubs and parties in San Francisco. So he was this thing that's called a bull. And according to Vice.com, that's a dom who would have consensual sex with women in front of their partners. And it was at one of these parties that someone approached Wardy about doing pornographic videos to make some extra cash. So at the time, he needed extra cash he was having financial difficulties and he needed to secure the house that he'd grown up in, so he just did it for extra cash. And then they did it for this website. I think there's a video of him masturbating in it as well, so he just did it for that. It's gas that he it just became such a meme. I think it was a meme around 2012. And this was the time Heather was going out with Wardy, and she kind of found out about his other side to his lifestyle or whatever. But when he was 45, it was in December 2016, he died of a heart attack. It's just his heart. She said he was as healthy as a horse, and that, but his heart just enlarged and it blew up on him. But the other thing was that when she, it wasn't the only shock that she got the day he died. When she arrived home from the hospital, she went through his phone because she wanted to start texting friends and family saying that he died. And she said that she saw multiple text messages from different women all wishing him good morning and wondering why he hadn't texted them back. So she said that,
oh,
I had to call these women and let them know that he had passed and that we'll be setting up arrangements. Two of them were crying, very devastated. One of them wanted to argue with me over who was his real girlfriend. And I was like, I don't think that matters at this point, ma'am. She was well aware that Wardy did keep some secrets from her. She said, naturally, you become your own journalist. I tried to find out more, but I found out I knew a lot of already. I knew he'd done gay porn. I knew that he went to sex clubs. I knew he was seeing other women when he was away on business trips. She said she loved and accepted him anyway. And with him suddenly gone, that his indiscretions didn't many anymore. He wasn't perfect, but she said ultimately he was a good man. And that was... they actually had to set up a GoFundMe page to cover the cost of his funeral costs. So I think his funeral costs in 2016 were about $20,000, and they managed to raise $10,500 worth of that. And they still, I think, have about $1,500 of debt to pay off from it. Now, all the comments on that just said what a nice person Wardy was, you know, larger than life, really just a nice person to be around. So what I think a nice thing that I don't know if you know the comedian Tom Segura, he was actually speaking on the Joe Rogan podcast recently. And what he's done is that he got in touch with Heather. They've created this T-shirt that's Tom Segura has all these like novelty products, and the text on the T-shirt says "Wash your hands," and then it's actually Wardy's face. So that's on sale on Tom's website. I think it costs $25, and you can buy it here in Ireland. I think shipping costs about $24. And all the proceeds from that are going to Wardy's family. So even though he's passed on, he does have two children. So all those proceeds from that T-shirt are going to a good cause, which is kind of nice, I think. So like, mad story, but it's just funny where like internet memes come from.
That's mad.
Crazy.
Yeah.
He's just a... I love him. I love that he was photoshopped into a picture of a lot of doctors and nurses, and it was like, stay home for us. And
people actually shared it.
Yeah, Frances Black got there sharing that one. She didn't copy it, but it's one of my favorite memes. A boy Wardy. What a weird first name too. And also, what a weird thing he was doing. People were paying him to have sex with their girlfriend while they looked on.
Yeah.
Well, I think he was doing that just for fun himself, but it was the gay porn that he was doing that he actually got paid for. But look, he was in a tight spot. I don't think he actually had to have sex with anybody else. I think it was just pictures and maybe videos of him masturbating that he did for this website. But
I won't be letting him near my missus. Been drilling a fucking pilot hole for years.
R.I.P. Wardy. I might buy it for crack.
Yeah, buy it for the crack. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast, and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number 2 Johnnies Pod, to spread the good word. And you can get in touch with those messages on Instagram. You can email podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie. That's where you get us.
Facebook,
the Twitter, whole lot.
YouTube. We put clips on YouTube every week, lads.
And you can join the Patreon, and you can message us directly on that. We're always active on that. Now we're going to round off the podcast with our yurts and dirts of the week. John Boy.
My dirt, I'm going to get straight to it. I got a speeding fine.
Oh.
And you can't pay for it online or over the phone.
No way.
Yeah, you have to go down to the post office or post back the form.
Shit.
Yeah, and I went into the post office, you know, and like they're all social distancing and all. And I came in and I just had the form, you know, the Garda black and white form. I was like, "Hi, lads, I have speeding fine there." And the whole place is like, "Oh, where did you get done speeding, John?"
Oh,
out by the mart, was it? Oh, it's tricky. The road opens up there, so everyone knows now.
Everyone's been done, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So I thought it was a 60 zone. I was doing 59, but it's not. It was a 50 zone. So I've rang every guard I know, and it's too late now. So. No, I didn't ring anyone, but just it's a pity you can't pay it online in these times, anyway.
Yeah, 100%. My yurt of the week is, you know, we love quizzes.
Love quizzes.
New quiz show launched this week, Beat the Chasers. You know the chase that's on every day.
With Bradley.
Yeah, with Bradley Walsh. Now you can face five of the chasers, and it's honestly.
It's too scary.
No.
You're never going to beat five of them.
People have done it.
No, they haven't.
A woman took 100 grand off.
That's a lot of money.
Honestly, watch the show. If you like quizzes, watch Beat the Chaser. I'm not going to say anymore. I don't want to ruin it for anyone.
Yeah, but are the questions like so hard that I can't play along?
No, you'll actually be able to answer them. Like, But I was just spent my week screaming at television every night at 9 o'clock watching Beat the Chaser. So you can get that on demand. Check that out. My dirt of the week. This weekend's meant to be my stag.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Oh. So as we sit here recording this, we should be in Liverpool on my stag.
Up to our tonsils.
With alcohol and fucking crack.
Yeah, I had a 3-foot stripper booked that I was going to handcuff to you.
Please don't. I don't like that.
But it's gas.
It's not. It's gas for you, yeah. Not for me. I'm thankfully, I've heard these stories, and I will be hiring a bodyguard for my next stag, and my wedding's had to be moved as well.
Yeah.
So we've had to move the wedding as well. So yeah, pretty shit week, to be honest.
Yeah, but look, we're going to have a nice Sunday.
Yeah. We're gonna go now and maybe have a couple of brewskis and stuff like that.
You know, so. Might sing a song.
Do you have a yurt?
You know, this Sunday is going to be great. I'm going to be your stag partner, John.
Great.
I'm going to be your yurt.
I look forward to that. Yeah. A nice striptease from Johnny B.
If I have to, that's what friends are for.
There you go. That's it for this week, and a weird way to end the podcast from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
We're off the strip.
Me, Maura.
See you next week.
I'm good so luck. Sad.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast, the Two Johnnies Podcast,
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.